Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3. The game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Corey Curtis from News 2 coming up at 8 o'clock, Darren McFarland at 9 o'clock, and as always, welcoming your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, now that the dust has settled on the NFL draft, rookie minicamp has come and gone, and the Titans are in the middle of the offseason program right now. I'm looking at their roster, and you've got right now a receiving core of Robert Woods and Treylon Burks and Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, and I guess maybe Des Fitzpatrick. Not a whole lot else right now for the Titans at wide receiver, and I'd wonder, we talked about this heading into the draft when A.J. Brown was still on the team. Could you draft Treylon Burks and then have kind of that three-headed monster of Brown, Robert Woods, and Burks? Obviously, one of those is gone now with A.J. Brown. Do you think the Titans should look at, do you think the Titans will look at bringing in another veteran wide receiver or two to add to the mix right now into a wide receiver room that is pretty light on veteran talent and snaps at the position this year?
Yes. Well, should, yes, but also what's realistic? You know, that's the question. And this is kind of to our last discussion. And I guess it's probably a little different football and hockey, right? There is a lot of off-season stuff going on right now where they're getting a lot of information on guys like Des Fitzpatrick. There's a key. Racy McMath. I mean, those two guys in particular, to me, help answer the question. I also would say, you know, guy who did look good last weekend, Reggie Robertson. I could see him being like one of those camp stories. We know they added Phillips, like you said, the legend, NWI, is in place.
He's a lock, man. 65 catches this year.
Yeah, so you got that? Okay, all right. Call that shot. But I think certainly you could make a case. If any of those names are not, you know, because the thing is, after Woods, they're really like, you know what Woods is, and he's coming off an ACL, but you know what Woods is. He's good. You know, he's going to be a good player. I think he's going to be a really good addition for this offense. And then really and Westbrook-Ikhina is like, in all seriousness, like we joke about it, but he's solid. I mean, you can count on him. He's solid. But who else do you know is going to be able to consistently be a threat for you downfield? Obviously, you hope Treylon Burks is. I'm certainly not overreacting to last weekend. I do think that tomorrow there'll be a lot of eyeballs on Treylon Burks with the OTA, the first time that we're allowed into OTAs to watch the veterans and the rookies perform. But, even if everything goes great from here with him, what is that? That guarantees nothing in his production next year. He's going to get chances. He's going to get opportunities. I think you make a case to go get a receiver, but who would that be right now?
Well, the question is, who's out there? So let's go down the list. Julio's out there. Obviously, that's not happening. Will Fuller is out there, and I've seen some Titans fans say, "Hey, Will Fuller, let me tell you, when he's healthy, he can be effective." When he's healthy, he's a very important part of that equation. But Will Fuller is out there and available. T.Y. Hilton has not officially announced what he's going to do yet. Cole Beasley in the slot. Emmanuel Sanders. And then the list starts to draw. I mean, there's OBJ out there as well, but that ain't happening. So the list starts to dry up a little bit after that.
And like the Beasley thing, I know Chase is big on that. They drafted Phillips. I mean, go with a young guy. I think he's got a chance to help them and be on a rookie deal. And so I would do that. I don't know. Sanders, how old is Sanders?
He's 35.
He's been a real nice player.
Yeah.
Like, he's the type of guy, you know, that I could see maybe being a nice addition, but he's up there, though, you know. And then the next question is, okay, is this where they need to add? Okay, how are they feeling about it? Like, how is Dez? Did Dez have a huge offseason? I don't know. How is Racy? Is Racy on his way to becoming the next Julio Jones, as former Titan A.J. Brown proclaimed?
Well, maybe so. That's the case, you may be in good shape.
I mean, the next Julio Jones, and what was Ferkser? The next, like, Mark Bavaro? Or I don't know what people said about him last
year. We had the next Julio Jones with Racy McMath and a top flight tight end in Anthony Ferkser.
Yeah, I remember writing some of those lies. Now, we haven't mentioned Mason Kinsey, by the way.
We have not.
You know, there's other guys on this. I mean, Cody Hollister's hanging around. Josh Malone, VFL. Josh Malone is in there, too. I don't know. The thing is, you could make the case that an offensive line add is more important if you're going to do some kind of a veteran add, you know? And maybe they're not going to do anything. I mean, honestly, at this very moment, so they've signed most of their rookies. So, at this very moment, according to Over the Cap, at this moment, they've got $3 million in cap space. So,
doesn't leave you a whole lot of room.
It's not exactly, you know, overflowing with cap space. So, if you're going to do something, if you're going to sign a veteran for someone who's just not just completely off the bargain bin, you're probably going to have to do something with someone's contract, too.
Tannehill? Just kick it down the road again.
Ryan, you are definitely going to be the quarterback through 2030. Everybody cool with that? All right. Let's see.
Well, do you feel great about the Titans receiver room right now? I mean, obviously with AJ gone. Like, I think Robert Woods, I have nothing to base this on, but I think Robert Woods, once the season starts, I think he's going to be fine. I think he'll be Robert Woods, and he'll be what they brought him in here to be. Like, is that Robert Woods? Is he good enough to be a number one wide receiver on a team that you hope can still compete for a Super Bowl? I don't know. He's had moments where, yeah, he probably could be, and then moments where he's probably a solid number two, which I think is what you brought him in here to be with A.J. Brown being your number one. So, you know, obviously a lot of this is going to depend on Treylon Burks, and that's something we're just not going to know the answer to until he gets out on the field. But I don't feel great about the wide receiver room right now.
Well, I think if you're Robert Woods, I mean, you came here to play with A.J. Brown. And the Titans signed you thinking about A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
Oh, this will be a nice compliment to A.J. Brown. Not, it'll be great to rely on this guy as our number one coming off the ACL, and even though he's never really been a number one. You know, I mean, the A.J. Brown thing disrupted the plan. The plan was different, obviously, when they went into these things in free agency. And the A.J. Brown thing has just changed things for the worse, obviously. So I just don't know if there's a great answer beyond, like, you really need at least one of those young guys to be like, oh, wow, he really has figured it out here.
So would you be willing to take a flyer on Will Fuller?
That'd be the one player in there that I might. Just because there's someone who, yeah, look, you can't expect him to play a full season.
Yeah, I mean, that ship has sailed.
You just want him to be available for the correct half of the season, you know, or certain big game. I mean, he gets hurt. We know this. Also, he does the one thing that I don't see anybody else on this roster doing. I mean, Treylon Burks has, you know, he's good speed, but he's not, you know, there's nobody on this roster that's scaring defenses right now, scaring safeties right now, right? Not that I see.
No.
So Will Fuller can do that. Well, I mean, Will Fuller, now how much is he diminished? How much of all the injuries piled up? I don't know, but when he's on the field, usually he's fast, really fast. So that might be worth a look. I mean, I don't know what the, you know, what's the market for Will Fuller? He's obviously out there.
Yeah,
it's no Jadeveon Clowney who apparently is getting offered, you know. Who apparently, yeah. Anyway,
that might congrats to him though. Going rant. Back to the Browns.
Yeah, I love that. It was like run it back. I think Buck's like, yeah, run back 8-9. Yeah, awesome. Really, but he had a good year.
Really looking forward to that. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Do you think the Titans should add a veteran wide receiver to the group? And if so, who should it be? 615-737-1025. 1025. Your Nashville's best deal of the week is Nashville B-Cycle. Nashville B-Cycle has been Music City's station-based bike share system since 2013. Get half off a monthly pass to Nashville B-Cycle, where you can enjoy unlimited 60-minute rides for 30 days now at thegamenashville.com/deals. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans, should the Titans add a veteran wide receiver to the mix? Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Dave in Big Rock texting in says, Will Fuller is now out 4 to 6 weeks from Robbie and Rex Road talking about him. Thank you, Dave.
Nice.
Appreciate that.
Poor Will.
It is kind of amazing how often he's been hurt.
He's an IFL.
Right? Yes.
Irish for life.
Yes. Hey, look, when he's been on the field, Titans have seen it firsthand. When he's on the field and he's healthy, he's tough to deal with, man.
No doubt.
That
no
hamstring doubt. Is – I think Titans had some hamstring issues last year. Let's bring in Will Fuller.
Yeah, what's the what's his career high of games played? Has he hasn't played a full season, right?
I don't think so.
I'm gonna look this up.
Gordon from Nashville texting in says, we don't need receiver depth as badly as we need depth in the secondary. Heck, you put a safety out there on offense and maybe Tannehill can complete a pass to him. That's coming from Gordon on the text line. Just throw a defensive player out there and Tannehill lock in on him. He's ready to go.
Charles Woodson.
Yeah.
Deion Sanders.
Pac-Man Jones.
There you go. Depth in the secondary. I don't think it's a problem at corner. I don't think it's a problem at corner now that they've got McCreary. Remember, you know, they still do have Chris Jackson. They still do have Buster Skrien. So I think their corner depth's good. Now, their safety depth, I could definitely entertain that. But I think that, I think Theo Jackson's going to end up being a nice add. One more reliable safety there, which, you know, that could also be could be around. You know, there's talk, you know, Chris Jackson has been talked about as a guy you go, you know, to the back and Molden too, although I've never really seen that with Molden personally.
Yeah.
At his size. But safety depth's a little bit of an issue. But again, I still think offensive line could use a little bit more insurance if there's, you know, if there's somebody out there, that you feel good about it. Like Dennis Kelly, for example, who is now an Indianapolis Colt.
He is. They let him get away in the division.
The one who got away.
That's right. I got a text that says, why not Odell Beckham Jr.?
I'm not completely opposed to exploring it.
Yeah.
You know? And you're talking about, are you talking about two ACLs in a row here?
Correct.
Is that right? Yeah. So my question back is, what's the price? I mean, if you can get him at a low cost, sure.
Rams paid him in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Really?
Just throw it out there.
Okay. J-Rob?
J-Rob, how's your Bitcoin game?
J-Rob out there throwing Bitcoin around? Do we have that in Tennessee?
Couldn't tell you, man.
At what point is he really? I mean, look, it was a great story last year before he got hurt in the Super Bowl. It was impressive.
They were apparently really struggling to get to a point with A.J. Brown where they were going to pay him a lot of money, and he's 24 years old and has not torn his ACL. Like, do we think John Robinson, the Titans, are going to go down the road aggressively in contract negotiations with Odell Beckham Jr.? Like, I don't know what OBJ's price tag is going to end up looking at, but I know the Rams are going to want him back. I mean, they've been pretty vocal about that. I would assume there are some other teams around the league, maybe the Green Bay Packers, that could want Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh,
as well.
This is your whole angle here.
No, that's like, it.
You,
yeah.
Hands off my Odell.
I just don't know what his price is going to be. Like, he was really good for the Rams
last year.
And, look, he was well on his way to that Super Bowl being really darn good in that game. And then he got hurt. So how do you balance the production in L.A., which was really good, and his age? I think he's 29, and he's two consecutive ACL injuries. Like, I don't know what that price tag looks like in this wide receiver market, which has just absolutely exploded this offseason.
The bottom line is someone's probably going to pay too much, and so you're probably not in there if you're done. Again, like, what? There's $3 million in cap space right now.
Yeah.
And all of the, I think, six of the nine or seven of the nine rookies have signed, so there's still more money to apply to the draft class.
Now, is that $3 million in cap space, is that taking in the Julio stuff, or is that coming post from
June 1st? That should not be taking the Julio cut into account.
Okay.
So, so that will certainly help. You know, certainly. I mean, that's going to be, what is that? Is that going to be post June 1? Right. But so then that's
which, by the way, is next week.
That's right. So that's, yeah. So, you know, you got another 10 mil that you should have. So if that's accurate at overthecap.com, then yeah, they should be looking at about 13. So, yeah, I mean, that's some space to do stuff with. Again, you got to sign the rest of your rookies. So you subtract whatever that is, but it's not going to be they've got their bigger contracts signed, right? I don't know who's still left on that front. Do you know off the top of your head? I know that Burks has been signed.
He has. Has McCreary signed? I don't know off the top of my head.
That may be one that's out there. So you take that out, but yeah, there's that leaves you a little bit of space. That's, you know, to do something with. But not, I don't think, to get into that race. Unless you just, you know what? Unless it's just like, look, everything has, and again, you can always do things with a manipulable,
sure,
cap that does exist, but can be moved around for sure. So maybe that's like you're John Robinson, look at this, like you got to get a difference maker at receiver.
Well, the nightmare scenario for the Titans right now at that position is Robert Woods isn't ready to go to start the season, and Treylon Burks isn't ready either. Like, what do you do then if you're the Titans and Robert Woods is still not healthy and Treylon Burks is not where you thought he would be when you drafted him?
NWI,
I guess.
All day.
It's like the New England game all over again from last year.
Yeah.
It's NWI and Des Fitzpatrick, and I guess you go.
Austin Hooper's here.
Go see what Cam Batson's doing. Yeah.
Yeah. He is out there, I see.
He's
right?
Out there.
He's out there. Yeah. Yeah. He's been a heck of a story. Yeah, no, I mean it's not great. I mean, camp is gonna be just so critical for Treylon Burks. He's gonna get every rep, every opportunity to be instantly a difference maker. And I think they're probably gonna get him the ball quickly in a lot of cases and things like that, let him run after the catch, but it's still not easy. It's not just snap your fingers and you're ready to be a consistent receiver in this league.
Well, and the other part of this is how much can you – let's say they don't go add any more depth at wide receiver. And who knows, maybe their depth right now, if Burks and Woods work out, maybe it's good enough. But let's say they don't add anything else. How much do you add to the passing game with Okonkwo and with Austin Hooper coming in? Because, the passing game at tight end last year, up until the very end of the season – was virtually non-existent. Like, how much gets added on that front with guys like Hooper and hopefully Okonkwo coming in and making an impact right away? I don't know what the answer to that is. I would assume it's more than we saw last year. Well, if not, it's a big problem.
Yeah, with Hooper, I think it'll be a point of emphasis for sure. And Okonkwo, I like him. I mean, I certainly like the potential there, but it's just, I'm keeping the brakes a little bit pumped on a rookie coming right in and making that. But I think you're going to see probably a lot of Swaim and Hooper out there together, right? Stuff like that.
Yep.
So, but yeah, Hooper, I think, instantly becomes an important guy. A guy to watch next, or not next week, tomorrow maybe.
Yeah.
See if he's overcome Tannehill not showing up for OTS.
Well, maybe so.
Or for the first part.
Did you know who was throwing you the ball out there? How much of a difference did it make? Ryan Tannehill hit you right in stride. How about that?
So I just think about this because your guy Aaron Rodgers apparently is just totally just dissing the Packers, huh?
I guess so. We really going to do another offseason of this?
Nah, why not?
Jeez. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Another article on Derrick Henry that's very interesting in terms of maybe expecting a downturn from number 22 this year. We'll get to that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, 1063, The Game. Got the Rex rant coming up at 745. Joe Rex Road's rant of the day. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So it kind of feels like this is going to be the offseason where everybody just predicts a downturn for Derrick Henry. We talked about the Football Outsiders piece last week in terms of basically, I mean, there's no basically about it. They called Derrick Henry toast in that piece, that he was done.
So at some point in the future.
At some point, yeah. And then said, you know, whether that's this year or 2 years from now, like, oh, good. Really going
he
out
is
on a limb.
Toast.
There.
At some point, Derrick Henry will stop gaining yards.
At some point, Derrick Henry will not be playing football anymore. That is what was thrown out
there. I bet you they're going
to be right. I bet you they're going to be right about that, too. Bill Barnwell from ESPN has also put out a piece, and this is not just Derrick Henry focused. Alvin Kamara is a part of this, Christian McCaffrey a part of this as well, Ezekiel Elliott. But Derrick Henry is mentioned in terms of running backs that could be on the decline. And Barnwell points out a couple of different things. Says after 378 carries in 2020, he had a staggering 219 carries before his injury. And on a run-by-run basis, after looking like a force of nature in 2019 and 2020, he was ordinary. This is coming from Bill Barnwell. And he goes through a bunch of different stats here. A couple of interesting ones. I mean, we know the basic stats of yards per carry. He was at 5.1 in 2019, 5.4 in 2020, down to 4.3 last year. That's a pretty significant drop.
Yes, it
in
is.
Yards per carry.
I like those traditional stats.
Yeah.
Rather than like the
what I'm about to get into?
Yeah, probably. Go ahead.
So there's the rush yards over expectation, which is basically a next-gen stat that the NFL has thrown out there. And basically, he was elite in that category in 19 and 20 at 1.1, whatever that means. He was at 0.1 in 2021, which put him right around league average. First downs over expectations at 11 in 2019, 10 in 2020, minus 4 in 2021. So all of these stats pointing to a significant drop-off last year with Derrick Henry. So we now have the Football Outsiders piece and the piece here on ESPN.com by Bill Barnwell basically saying Derrick Henry's in a decline right now in his career. Is this going to be what this offseason is? And how much do these numbers concern you if you're John Robinson and the Tennessee Titans that have been thrown out there?
I don't know. If I'm Vrabel, I'm texting all these articles to Derek right now. You know, you may be mad at him for not being here, but by golly, you can make him mad and keep sending these articles.
While you're doing push-ups and, you know, putting holes in tile on the ground from your arms, read these.
Yeah, check this out. Did you think that Derrick Henry, as you watched him last year before he got hurt, did you think we were seeing a diminishing running back?
I really didn't.
I mean, didn't either.
Look, he's still. We've talked about the Buffalo game. He changed that game. Like he was still a really good
Seattle
player last
game,
year.
He changed that game.
I mean, you can go through it. He was really really good. Now, I mean, the yards per carry, it is what it is. That's a pretty big drop-off from 5.1 to 4.3.
There's also a lot of things that go into running the football,
sure,
including your offensive line play, which that I'm very confident in saying took a huge step back last year. Also, different OC last year.
Yeah.
Oh, there were a lot of – and you know, the passing game wasn't as good. Like, all of it wasn't as good. I think some of this is circumstantial and is not Derrick Henry. But I think the missed and broken tackles, the runs over expectation, that's kind of like goalie stat, right? It's like, okay, whatever your save percentage is, but like it kind of that tells you a little bit more about the conditions around the goalie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not dismissing all these numbers. There's probably something to them, but anybody who watched Derrick Henry play last year, I did not detect anything but a monster who was completely loaded up on by defenses week after week and an offensive line that really struggled at times.
Now, I will say I'm worried about that continuing this year.
Yeah.
Because you've lost Roger Saffold, and you know, who knows what the replacement of left guard is going to be, whether that's Aaron Brewer or Jamarco Jones or Dylan Radins, whoever they plug in there at left guard. And the other part of this is you don't have A.J. Brown now, and you've got a passing game at the moment consisting of Robert Woods and Treylon Burks and Austin Hooper, and that may very well turn out to be a really good passing attack. I don't know, but I'd feel a whole lot better if number 11 was out there if I was Derrick Henry. So if you're a defense right now, I mean, there's no question who you're trying to stop. It's Derrick Henry, and that's nothing new for Derrick Henry and the Titans.
But it's easier without
A.J.
Brown.
Are they equipped to handle that as well as they were in the past? In the past, you know, contrary to popular belief, Ryan Tannehill was able to use some nice play action passes to his advantage and throw the ball down the field, and it worked quite well for the Titans at times. I just, as you look at this offense right now with Derrick Henry, I think it could be harder to generate yardage this year.
I agree. And so the offensive line, major questions. You don't have that guy outside right now. I mean, Robert Woods, again, I really like him. I really like him as a two. He's not scaring anybody. He's a good player. Treylon Burks, we'll see. But, I mean, realistically, as a rookie, you think he's going to come in here and light the world up like he's still at Arkansas playing against Mississippi State? I don't think so. You hope so. You hope you catch lightning in a bottle like you did with A.J. Brown as a rookie. But there's a lot of factors that tell me that Derrick Henry is going to get successfully stacked against and that they're going to really struggle to move the ball and score points like they have. I mean, I think the overall step backward on offense is easy to see right now.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam from Portland. Adam, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Man, so you guys are professionals at what you do. Maybe you could help me understand. Why do I feel that this burning need to defend Derrick Henry? I have an obligation to call, pick up my phone and call you guys, and just, I hate it. I hate somebody saying he's on the decline. It really bothers me because, I mean, this guy for the first 9 weeks or whatever that was the only player we had on offense that was consistent, and you knew it was going to show up every day, working. You could tell, like, the offense had clearly declined. You've been talking about it. The tight end situation, that was gross neglect this year. Our wide receivers, who everybody was excited about. I think my season ticket rep said that they sold, like, 400% of tickets the day we signed Julio. Yep. What a awesome signing for us, right? And it was all on Derrick Henry before it was over. And then week 9, he gives us his foot. Like, and then you're going to talk about his decline. Like, it's so ridiculous to me. And the quarterback, like, the turnover-prone quarterback. Like, it was so crazy to hear somebody say he's on the decline. So I don't know why. I mean, maybe it's something personal with me, but I just think it's foolish to think he's going to step back. Like, he's a robot, so at some point he's going to get older and start to slow down a little. But I don't see it yet, man. Not just yet.
Hey, thanks for the call, Adam. That's very generous of Adam to call us professionals.
Yeah,
it's not a term that's commonly used here on this program.
Yeah, use it loosely.
Just bronies.
Oh boy. Hey, we've gone almost 2 hours without talking about. I knew you were going to bring up bronies again today. You know, some of these things just need to die. The bronies need to die.
One of those things.
I don't mean the actual bronies need to die. Don't get me wrong.
Oh boy.
Those guys, go do your thing, man. Go do your thing. Yeah, no, Adam, I agree with you. Look, like I said, I mean, watching him, he was incredible last year. So, but remember, first of all, some of these numbers, I mean, these are metrics that can tell you something, I think. I think there's some value in them. And a yard less per carry is big.
It's a big deal.
That's a big deal. Again, I think it's a lot more conditions around him with that stat. And a lot of things went the wrong way last year, starting from week 1, where you're letting your quarterback just get obliterated play after play. You're turning it over, and they're just, you know, you just got absolutely crushed up front.
Who came back in the game that day?
What Taylor Lewan?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. I had a funny one for that, too, and I forgot it. Gosh darn it. Derrick Henry has been blocked for all day. We got them. No. But I agree that Derrick as a player, but you got to remember too, with all this stuff, this is also just the expectation with running backs, right? I mean, people who cover the NFL are just assume that every running back has like a 3-year arc and then they're toast. So You know, there's that.
That's why
too.
If Derrick Henry comes out and has a big year this year, he might be a lock for the Hall of Fame because people will be like, oh my gosh, he's still playing football at that high of a level? My goodness.
Right.
In today's NFL?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just totally against convention that you would have a running back, you know, have what he's done to date. So, look, I personally expect Derrick Henry to come out and look just like Derrick Henry this year. At some point, that's going to change. The hard part for him is what we've been talking about. The Titans are making things around him are a lot worse now. They just are. So you got all these things that you hope you can hit. You hope that you get a good left guard in there. You're not going to have Roger Saffold. Roger Saffold was right. Boy, that was a good tandem. You hope right tackle gets figured out. You hope receiver gets figured out. You hope Tannehill plays well. If all those things aren't checked, it's just going to be that much tougher on him.
Matt in Nashville on the text line says, those are all season average stats. I feel like Henry has always been a bigger factor in the second half of the season. When players are tired and the weather gets colder, yep. Seems like those numbers would naturally be lower than when he missed the most productive part of his season. That's coming from Matt from Nashville.
No, that's a good point, for sure. I mean, you look at now, I think in 2019 there was a lot going on, including the offensive line was a mess early, and Lawan wasn't there the first 4 weeks, all that stuff. And then Mariota, and they switched. Tannehill's emergence helped Derrick Henry a ton. But I also think it was that too. Tired defenses, some of these teams aren't playing for anything in December. You really want to get in there and take him on with that knee in your face, you know. I mean, so I think that there's something to that too. That he's had his best stuff in December in his career for the most part.
Well, the bottom line is, I know this. Seattle game, that was vintage Derrick Henry. Buffalo game, that was vintage Derrick Henry.
Right.
I mean, there were moments throughout the season last year where he was absolutely the difference.
Well, he was their best player.
He was their best player.
He was their best player last year. Don't get it mixed up at all. He was their best player, period. And he's going to have to be – I mean, if that offense is going to work this year, you know, he's going to have a huge year. I don't see another way to this offense even being like above average in the NFL this year.
Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant, Joe Rex Rhodes Rant of the Day. 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Rhodes here on ESPN 102.5-106.3, The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. And potentially Joe Rex Road's biggest regret ever, bringing up My Little Pony here on the program.
Is that a
modernized version?
Yeah, modernized version of the song, a little upbeat. I don't remember that.
Just wow. Trying to make you hip.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if I can find a Brotherhood of Bronies meeting soon. And, yeah. Yeah. What's the other one? Fuzzies?
My buddy?
Furries.
No, furries. Yeah, well, no, it's like adults who dress up like,
sure.
Like My Little Pony or other stuffed animals and stuff. I mean, I would dress up as Snuffleupagus. Snuffleupagus? That's awesome. And let's talk Sesame Street. Now, that's my jam.
Let's really get in there.
Yeah. All right. No, I just this is quick, but again, it's a common theme. We've talked about it before, but again, it happens. I think it needs to be called out. I think it needs to be called out when it happens.
Okay.
And you know what? I don't know exactly if it happened, but if it didn't, then this is where the professional who created this situation needs to go ahead and be professional. Ian Rappaport. So here's his tweet from yesterday about Jadeveon Clowney. Clowney wanted to be back in Cleveland. For those who don't know, Clowney, Jadeveon Clowney, Titans legend, has re-signed for a year. And what do we know the terms of this deal?
Like it's up to $11 million.
Yeah. So it's incentives bring it to 11. Okay. Fine. So base is probably, I need to find this. This is actually an important part of this discussion. So basically eight or nine, right?
I would assume.
Yeah. So a deal up to, which is good. I mean, if I was signing Jadeveon Clowney to a deal, I would sign him to an incentive loaded deal. you know, because he obviously, worth up to 11.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So that's, again, that's also your agent making sure that we talk about, you know, now USA Today reports a 1-year contract worth up to $10 million with incentives. He's probably going to make about $8 or $9 million, which is a lot. You know, I mean, I think that's about right. But I mean, the guy had 9 sacks last year.
He was good.
He had a good year. Okay, so good for him. Gets another deal. But this is what Ian Rappaport tweets. Clowney wanted to be back in Cleveland. How badly? He turned down $14 to $15 million a year offers from other teams on multi-year deals to go back.
Mm-hmm.
So according to Ian Rappaport, reporting this as fact, Jadeveon Clowney had multi-year deals. So let's just say it's 2. I mean, you could take that as 5. How about 5 for 65? Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, no, 5 for 75. That's good math right there on the fly. How about 5 for 75, Jadeveon? Come on, let's go. No. I would rather sign with Cleveland for $8 million incentives up to 10 or 11 or so. I love Cleveland so much. I love the Browns so much. I love that 8-9 season so much. Lake Erie is, I mean, I just swim in it all the time. It's amazing. No, I got to be back in Cleveland. Thanks, though. Thanks for the multi-year offers of 14 to 15 a year. I'm good. I'm going back to Cleveland. This is irresponsible, Ian Rappaport. And usually we rip on your buddy Adam Schefter, but this is, look, this is an agent telling you this. Fine. So you either tell us the teams, you show the receipts there, or you attribute it because you cannot write that as fact. No one believes it, and you look stupid. So please be better, okay? You work hard, you break news, it's fine. You have a lot of sources in the league. Agents tell you things. Agents want things out there. We understand how the game works. Don't write things as fact that we all know are complete BS.
We know that Jadeveon Clowney was really fired up. You know what?
Yeah.
I don't need the money. Just really love being in Cleveland.
I mean, 2 years for 30 sounds good.
Sounds good.
But, man, when I put on that doo-doo brown uniform, I don't know why. I don't even know why
I'm
turning
it back. Run it back.
Like, I don't even hate the Browns. I'm turning this into a rip the Browns session. I don't hate the Browns, but it's just so stupid. Like, please. Like, and the thing is, it's what you feel sometimes is that stuff like that or some of the stuff Schefter puts out, it's like, okay, like, you owe me a solid, man. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, when it's that transactional, it's hard to respect it sometimes. So be better.
It's interesting to me how this, first off, Clowney is the master of the 1-year deal incentive laden contract. This has got to be like 4 or 5 years in a row with him coming in on a 1-year deal somewhere. It's amazing.
Well, no one trusts that he's going to stay healthy, which I understand. And, you know, but people are still intrigued by him. And again, I mean, it turned out to be a good signing for the Browns last year. And even with that, he gets a one-year deal. About $8-9 million. You know, I mean, that's what he is right now.
But if you're him, like, if you really got multi-year offers from other teams, would you not jump at that and finally be like, okay, finally, like, I don't have to go through this again?
I mean, I suppose if it's like just the Jags or something, okay,
Hey.
Then maybe you bet. Although the culture has really changed.
Culture's
down there,
changed. Weather's nice down there.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, but again, multiple teams, multi-year deals, 14, 15 per. Really? Is that so?
It's just so asinine.
Okay, it's just, yeah, sure. Just report it as fact. Sounds good.
You saying it so
it's very frustrating.
It's not his fault either. We can't get mad at Clowney. This is not he's still Joe's Clowney to you. And to Heidi from Dixon on the text
That's
line.
Right. He will always be my Clowney. My little Clowney.
DJ Burnside, do your work.
Yes. I hope he heard that and is now making an incredible graphic.
Oh man.
Good God. What have I done? I've stepped in it again.
You kind of love it, though, Joe.
I really don't love illustrations in which I'm a brony. I promise you, I actually don't love those.
It is. It's look, Schefter and Rappaport, those type guys. It's been an interesting year to like follow that because the Schefter stuff with Derrick Henry about, oh, he's out for a year. Like, okay, whatever, man. And he wasn't out for the year. Like, we all knew that that was going to be the case anyway.
Well, we knew from the start it was premature to try to report
say that,
that
he's out for the year.
And yet he – why? Like, why did he do that?
I understand that these people have to get their information from somewhere, and the agents a lot of times are where they're getting their information. But don't you have to, like, at least – try to do some legwork outside of just what the agent tells you? It seems like too often with those guys, they just say, okay, I'm going with it. Whatever you tell me is fine.
Well, I think personnel people, some talk to them as well, you know. But, yeah, it's agent-driven for sure. And, yeah, that's the thing. Yes. You know, if you're trying to break news across the whole league and you're competing with each other, then, hey, that means you're on the phone all the time, right? But – I mean, this is one of those where you're like no one's going to believe that, dude. And if you were told that, then I hope you then said, okay, which teams? Come on, man. But you decided to report it as fact. And I understand it's one tweet, but it really is lame, you know? Like, how stupid do you think people are? And, again, if there is something to it, if it's true, let's find out how stupid some GMs are. Yes. Which ones? I need to know.
Let's also find out how stupid Jadeveon Clowney is for accepting the deal from Cleveland, if that's true.
There's a whole bunch of stupid.
Big E on the text line says, love that rant. Rappaport got clowned with a nice clown emoji after that. See what you did there, Big E. Ooh. Good stuff.
For some reason, I'm going back to bronies. Please get it out of my brain.
We'll continue to take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 1025-1063, The Game.